Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Ruchama Welcher and today we'll be studying the third parak of Sefer Koheles. In this chapter, we're going to be looking at the tension between man's control over his actions and predetermination and inevitability on the other hand. And we're going to specifically be looking at this through the lens of the concept of time. And the chapter begins with a poem about time in the first 8 pesukim, starting with the words, Lakol Zaman, there is a season for everything, ve'eis lekol chefetz tachas hashamayim, and there's a time for everything under the heavens. And then Koheles goes on to list 28 things, or 14 pairs of opposites, for which there is a specific time. So some examples, eis loledes, there's a time to be born, ve'eis lamus, and there's a time to die. Eis lefrois, ve'eis livnois. On the one hand, there's a time to breach, on the other hand, there's a time to build. There's a time to mourn, and on the other hand, there's a time to laugh. And finally, ending with, there's a time for war, and on the other hand, there's a time for peace. The Targum says that there are some things in this poem that are very, very clearly within man's control. So say, for example, there's a time to throw stones, to scatter stones, and there's a time to gather stones. There's a time to be silent, and there's a time to speak. These are things within man's control. However, he says there are also other things that are very clearly beyond man's control, starting with we don't control when to give birth or when to be born, and we don't control when we're going to die. And for example, a time to heal. We wish healing was within our control, but it's not. Eis la'abed, a time to lose, another thing that man can't control. And this tension between things that are within man's control and outside of man's control leads Koheles in Pasuk Tes to ask, Mayisrin ha'oseh b'chol asher hu amel. What gain does the worker have in his work? Explains the Ibn Ezra, that what does man gain from his labor, since everything is predetermined and a time can come when you can lose your wealth or your work is destroyed? Nothing that we accomplish with our labor is guaranteed, and everything is so transient and nothing is stable. So what's the point in working hard? What's the point in expending effort? What's the point in accomplishing things when things are outside of our control and they could be destroyed at any moment? I have seen the task that Hashem has given the sons of man to be concerned with. And in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Eshakol Asa Yafe Be'itai, Hashem does everything appropriately in its time. Meaning, when Hashem decides it's the right time, everything is done in a time that's determined by Hashem and outside of man's control. So what's the point in man expending any effort? But Koheles resolves this in the rest of Pasuk Yud Aleph, Gam es ha'olam nosam b'libom, mibli asher lo yimzeh ha'adam es ha'maaseh asher asa Elokim mirosh v'ad sof. He also put, and ha'olam looks like it's supposed to be translated as the world, but that doesn't read right over here, so we're going to have to find a better translation. He put in their heart, without a person understanding what Hashem has done from beginning to end. So we're going to suggest 2 translations for the word ha'olam, according to Rashi and according to the Ibn Ezra, and that's going to help us resolve Koheles' question of what's the point in making any effort in this world. So firstly, to look at the explanation of the Ibn Ezra, he translates ha'olam as forever, like the word la'olam. So gam es ha'olam nosam b'libom, he put foreverness in their heart, meaning Hashem made us think, says the Ibn Ezra, that we're going to live forever. He gave us this illusion of invincibility. And that's a kindness, because this way, we're never concerned that there's no point in accomplishing or building or investing because of the possibility that we're going to die. We think we're going to be here forever, and this illusion of control encourages us to keep building, to keep having children, to keep investing, to keep growing, because we think we're always going to be here. Or another way of understanding this pasuk, according to Rashi, is that Rashi translates ha'olam as hiddenness. So from the word ne'elam, if you see it spelled without a vav, like the word ne'elam. So gam es ha'olam nasam b'libom, he put hiddenness in their heart, says Rashi, meaning He doesn't show us the future. We don't know what's going to happen. So whilst it's true that we have no control over what's going to happen and everything we do may ultimately end up being destroyed, we're not aware of this. And this is a great kindness from Hashem, because if we could see the future, how many people would have children, would marry, would invest in a business, would build a home, would invest in their community. So often these things just lead to disappointments, and we wouldn't do them if we saw the future. So Hashem put hiddenness in our hearts, and he concealed the future from us to encourage us to keep growing and keep investing and keep working on things in this world without worry that it's going to be destroyed. And specifically, says Rashi, he hid from us our day of death. And what this accomplishes is that we live our lives in a way that we don't know if today is going to be our last, because nobody knows when they're going to leave this world. So we're always conscious, or ideally we should always be conscious, of living in a way that this could be our exit statement to the world. As the Mishnah in Avos tells us, that a person should do teshuva the day before they die. But since nobody knows when they're going to die, we should constantly be doing teshuva, and we should constantly be fixing up our actions, because we never know when our lives are going to come to an end. So Hashem concealing this from us ensures that we continue to make good choices and live our lives to the fullest, even though we don't know what the outcome is going to be. So to conclude this section, Kohelet says that since we have no control over what's going to happen to us in time, the only thing left for us to do is to make the most of our time. In Pasuk Yud Beis, Yodati ki ein tov bom ki im lesmerch v'la'asos tov b'chayav. What results is that man should live a good life, which Ibn Ezra translates to mean, do good in your life. Exactly what Chazal say when they say, Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mi'ira shamayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven except for fear of heaven. Meaning so much of life is predetermined, so much is inevitable. Really, the only thing that we can control is our choice of actions and our responses to those things that happen to us. So make good choices and choose your response as well. And that leads directly into the next section, because as Rashi says on the next pasuk, since there's free choice, there's also going to be accountability. And this is something that the Rambam talks about in Hilchos Teshuva, where he says that a basic premise of accountability is that man has free choice over his actions. You can't be held accountable for something that you have no control over. And then on the other hand, because man has free choice and because man has control over his actions, then there is accountability and you're responsible for what you've done. So in Pasuk Tesvav, we have Ma Shehaya Kvar Hu V'Asher Liyos Kvar Haya V'Helokim Yevakesh Es Nerdof. As we've seen many times in history, Hashem is always going to seek out the pursued and punish the perpetrator. So there's accountability for everything. However, in Pasuk Tes Zayin, Kohelet observes that we don't always see this justice in this world. Va'od ra'isi tachas Hashemesh, I've also seen under the sun, that Mekom HaMishpat Shama HaResha, or Mekom HaTzedek Shama HaResha, that sometimes in the place of justice there's wickedness, and sometimes in the place of righteousness there's wickedness. Sometimes in this world we see injustice and we see corruption and we see a lack of accountability, and we see bad things happening to good people and good things happening to bad people, which is another major theme of this book. And in this case, Kohelet resolves it again in the context of time. Hashem transcends time and he sees the bigger picture, and we come into this world for a very short amount of time. We don't see the beginning, we don't see the end. It's like reading a book without reading the beginning or the end, and you don't know who the hero is and you don't know who the villain is. Whereas the Chofetz Chaim describes the man who comes into shul in the middle of davening and he arrives late and he hears the tzibur say, Eskol ohavo ve'eskol harishom yashmid. Hashem destroys all those whom he loves and all the wicked people, the righteous and the wicked, he destroys together. And the person thinks to himself, so why would I make an effort? Why would I bother to be good if Hashem destroys everybody together? Or the other guy who comes to shul on time, but he leaves early, and he hears them say, Shomer Hashem eskol ohavav ve'eskol harishoim. Hashem guards all his beloved ones and all the rishoim. And he also thinks to himself, if the rishoim and the righteous people get treated equally, why would I bother? So you have to be there for the beginning to the end to understand what's going on. And none of us are here from the beginning to the end, so none of us understand what's going on. So we've got to just trust that Hashem knows what he's doing, and justice will happen ultimately with time. So in Pasuk Yud Zayin says Koheles, Amarti ani b'libi, I said in my heart, Es hatzadik ve'es harasha yishpoit elokim. Hashem will judge the tzadik and the rasha, ultimately. They will get justice. Ki eis lekol chefetz, because there is a time for everything. Everything has an appropriate time. Ba'al kol ha-ma'aseh shom. And for every deed, there's a time for it to be judged there. The there means, according to the Ibn Ezra and the Medrash, in the world to come. Even if we don't see justice in this world, we trust and we believe that ultimately there will be justice in the world to come. And then in the final section of the chapter, Koheles again wonders about the point of it all, this time by comparing the fate of man and animal. In the previous chapter, he compared the fate of the Chacham, the wise person, and the fool, and realized that they all come to the same end. And in this chapter, he does the same thing with animals. In Pasuk Yotes, Ki mikra b'nei ha'odom or mikra ha'behema, because the fate of man and the fate of animal, mikra echad lahem, they have the same fate, k'mos zeh, kein mos zeh, the way one dies, the other one dies. V'ruach echad lakol, u'moysar ha'odom in ha'behema ayin ki akol havel. And there's no superiority of man over animal, because everything is futile. Pasuk Kaf, hakol ha'lech al-makom echad, everything's going to one place. Hakol hoya min ha'ofer, we all come from dust, both man, both animal. V'hakol shovel ha'ofer, and everything's returning to the dust. So how is man, with his toil and his choices and his control, in any way superior to animals when we all die the same death? But Koheles resolves this himself in Pasuk Kaf Aleph. Mi yodea ruach b'nei ha'odom ha'olehi l'malo. And Rashi says that we should read this as an assertion, not a question. Mi yodea, he who knows, understands that ruach b'nei ha'odom ha'olehi l'malo, that the spirit of man after he dies rises above, goes back to Hashem. V'ruach ha'behema ha'yoredes hi l'mata la'aretz. Animals have no afterlife. They merely disintegrate into the ground after they die. So there's absolutely no comparison with human beings. Says the Chidon, the word ayin in Pasuk Yotes, in the context of there's no superiority of man over animal, that the word ayin is short for three words. The first letter of each word can make up three words. Amira, speech, yediyah, which is an intellectual self, and neshama, which is a spiritual self. And man differentiates himself from animals in these three ways, through his speech, through his intellectual self, and through his spiritual self. Man is in no way comparable to animals, and we differentiate ourselves by the choices that we make in this world. So to summarize this chapter, in Pasuk Kaf Beis, in the final Pasuk, Koheles concludes with words that summarize the whole perek. Rejoice in your actions, because that's what you can control. We don't know what will happen to the products of our work, and specifically we don't know what our heirs will do after we die, says Rashi. But the one thing that we can control is ourselves. Hakol bideich shemaim chutz mi'ir shemaim. Everything is in the hands of heaven, except for the fear of heaven. That's one thing that we can control. The only thing that we control, and the only thing that is ultimately ours and that we take with us, are our good deeds in this world. Thank you for studying together Le'ilui Nishmas Rose Foreman, Razel Rachel Bas Aryeh Leib, and Rachel Zeitlin, Rachel Bas Shlomo.